started out. Beverly's in the building. She'll be here momentarily. I'd like to just take a couple minutes and turn this thing over to Roger and Ed. I'd like to say, first of all, thanks to the Planning Commission for all the work that y'all did. As you know, that it doesn't go unnoticed by anyone. And we know it's a volunteer job, and we just appreciate the talent that you bring to the job and to the position. And we just appreciate it so much. And I speak to the council, but they don't say the same thing. And I'm sure they say this too. We couldn't do that without your efforts. So we just appreciate it. It's been a busy time. I think, and maybe if you agree or not, that Ed, Roger, these last 3 years, I would say, probably been busy with the plan. Just a couple of quick comments. I want to thank the staff too for what they did. Obviously, not a bunch of people like John, but we have a lot of staff, the city manager, planning director, and all their staff members, Bill, helping us to do that job. I met with Roger again just briefly today. We talked about some of the items. You all know we had the agenda. Main points here, main items. There are several others for the listener. And we talked about how we might combine some of these and have some suggestions to bring to this meeting to kind of get a jump start. So hopefully we'll be able to get about 4 to 8 maybe, so we'll get home, get a president, and go to the ball game, or whatever we have to do. And maybe that's possible. Maybe it is. I did want the planning commissioners to know on your resolution that you wrote concerning the billboards. Council authorized me to sign a letter. That's been sent. I don't know the status of that bill as of today. My computer's been down on a lot of work, maybe on the highest check, but I hope there's more of that telephone. My computer's up now. I'll find out the status of that bill later. One last thing, I have the privilege of representing the city in Washington with 39 other people. This is the annual meeting that we take every year up to Washington to talk with the DOE, Senator Hahn, and whoever else, depending on what the issue was. And it was a good trip. They were very positive, and everybody we talked to was so positive about this. About the other side. And the community support, number one, that's the thing I always do. They always say it takes just the best community support of any of the agencies in the country. And I don't believe it. I think I'll do some good progress. The main thing is that they believe it. First election year, we weren't going to get any done with some inmate. But I will say that everybody's very positive on the site. And the fact that it's out there, just that capability. So, without further ado, Roger, take over.
I'd like to just echo a couple of comments that Mayor made. About a year or two ago, we had close to 20 items, major items that I would look at that we were on the docket's plan. Last year, we had about 15. This year, four bigger items that we moved from that list. We're actually down to a reasonable list now. Big box ordinance, better known now as large retail establishments, is going to take off that list. And it gives a model for us for other establishments that are under 40,000 square feet. So it's not just for, right now it's 40,000 above, but it can be modeled so it can be actually looked at for smaller buildings. So it's a major task we've done, and we really congratulate you. The traffic ordinance will be coming to City Council in June. We'll have a work session and then have first reading or whatever changes we need to make. The overlay was completed last June, off down Whiskey Road. And the Old Lincoln Master Plan has been looked at. There's been a work session that will be in the Council probably in July. So those are four really major tasks that in a typical year you might only have one or two. Those are four, plus there's a number of other minor ones some not as light as others, but other ones that would tackle like commercial vehicles. I think Kevin Bumpetto is subcommittee of that. I really congratulate you all for doing this and getting through, because I think after this next year we'll be down to a more of a normal type of listing. As the mayor said, we did talk about this today. I had a lot of questions for Ed because he had several more pages behind pages on what was suggested as the top 10. So if you all have this listing, that's what we're going to go by. Does anybody need one? Okay, we need one. Anybody else need one? Now, yours probably doesn't have as much writing on it as mine does, but I need a lot of notes here, so I can figure out what I'm going to say. Do we have one? Okay, the first item here is the old vacant master plan. There was a meeting already in May. The planning commission had already looked at it. Very few, if any, changes are being suggested for that. That should be, instead of being coming to the council in August, right now it's going to come to council in July. The planning commission will probably look at that in June, make some recommendation, and pass that on to city council. So that's actually moved a month ahead. And we would recommend you still keep that your number one objective. The second one is the amend land development regulations for separation screening detention pond. It's really not a major item. It helps us clarify some things and develops things that are needed for redevelopments. Instead of it having a work session in August, that'll probably be moved up to June with the planning commission and coming to council in August. So that's going to probably be moved up a little bit. Again, we would still recommend have that as your number two item. Number three is amend land development regulations for concrete curb gutter. Again, not a major thing. This is something that more just clarifies when should we have concrete curb gutter versus an asphalt swale. We've given some recommendations. Staff has to add a number of months ago, I believe that. Again, it should be something fairly minor. It will probably be discussed in June and come to council in August. We're moving that one up a little bit. And we continue to say number three should stay where it's at. Number four is PUDs. We've heard a lot about PUDs. To the most part, PUDs are good because it gives a lot of flexibility to the planning commission and city council as to what to put in these areas. One of the areas down under other items that Ed has here is cluster housing. Cluster housing is where if an area is zoned RS-15, it's a 15,000 square foot minimum size lot, and a developer comes to us and says, I like to do cluster housing, I'd like to cluster all in one area and make those that area RS-6, single family, 6,000 square foot lots, and leave the rest of the area open space. That would be cluster housing, clustered all in one area, and the surrounding area is green space, open space. By doing a PUD, you would do the same thing, and you only have to think about clustered housing, but it gives you that flexibility. But that's the type of flexibility you get with a PUD. Again, we recommend you keep that here. Again, it could probably be discussed earlier than we have a schedule, and probably could come to the council as early as September. Here's where we start talking about some possible changes you might want to consider. We looked at several of these items, and item currently number six, which is the comprehensive plan for the north side. That is like the south side. We formed a committee representing various entities, and the planning commission would have to determine what entities should have representation on that committee. You know, you'll have several people at large. You might have some of the neighborhood organizations that are on the north side, probably developers and some engineering groups. I think the last time we had Smart Growth and a representative. But you know, you're going to get about 8 to 15, I don't remember, 15, 8 to 12 representatives on a committee. And the planning commission will have to look ahead and determine who should be represented. And then those collective organizations will have to go ahead and determine who from those organizations should really have to be on the committee. We feel that should move up to number five, and we can start talking about it in June as to what groups should be represented. And then by August, you should be able to go ahead and select who should be on the committee. And if you look here, this is called the committee, and the number six and number eight is called subcommittee. There really should be both subcommittees, subcommittee and the planning commission. That is a recommendation we have, that you might want to consider moving that with number five, so that during the next month, we can go ahead and start talking about who should be on that, what group should be represented, and then hopefully by August, the groups can be selected, or individuals from the groups can be selected. That'll probably take 8 to 12 months to complete. So you start in August, maybe by next spring, maybe next summer, the Northside Comprehensive Plan. A Northside Comprehensive Plan will take in everything within our utility district, and maybe a few areas beyond that. A utility district goes all the way north of I-20. That's an 8-mile area north to south, and about a 4-mile area east to west. Very, very large area. Some of it's in, I'm trying to get the kind of putting it, pretty good shape. Some of it is, just has a variety of stuff in there that, hopefully through the comprehensive plan, we can start looking at, well, what can it look like in 20 years, and how can we build a master plan, a south side plan, and what do the north side look like? As we continue to grow the north, and I firmly believe we're going to be growing the north in the future. So we're recommending that you move number six up to number five. Again, that's just a staff recommendation. You all can make some other decisions as to what you want. We'd like to add in a new number six item. If you turn this next page over, and if you look under the recommendation from the Board of Zoning Appeal, there's three different items here that we've had to deal with. One is on sheds, and they gave a nice explanation on this on your last page, explaining what the problems are with sheds. They gave a lot of people coming in, asking for variances on sheds. They said, well, maybe we need to change the language to get more what people are complaining and wanting with sheds. Probably not a very major issue, but it could become somewhat of an issue, because anytime a shed is put into a location, if you're building a shed, you want as close to the property line as you want. If your neighbor, you want as far away from the property line as you do. So we need to look at that language and decide what is the necessary regulations we should have. The next one is fences on corner lots. Again, it seems like a very simple thing. That one might actually be the outpost of the sheds as to what is the distance, what should we have, what type of fencing. There's a number of issues here on fences on corner lots. Maybe you want to add that here?
All these fences have been built up to their solution on corner lots.
And they come up a lot. And that's why the BZA is saying this comes up over and over and over. It would be really great to get a little more clarification as to what the planning commission and city council wants the best of what lots.
What's the major problem?
Right now, there's some parties going. Right now, there's just a height number of 4 feet. And just confusion about how to apply that on corner lots. Some corner lots have had a backyard facing the north side streets. Property number will want to put a taller fence in that portion of the yard. Some of the neighbors think, no, it's a street climber just going to four foot. That's the basic problem.
So, and then the last item is called underground wiring. Now, you wouldn't think that underground wiring would be a problem, because in our estimation, staff-wise, we felt that council had said that everything in new development should be underground. And lo and behold, maybe a year or two ago, the hospital's making an expansion to the Cancer Center's app off the University Parkway. They added about 6 to 8 lots there. The new road that comes off University Park that comes into the hospital parking lot on that road. New Belmont. They put their transmission line that'll be serving that entire area above ground. By the time we found out what they did, they went back to language that we have in our franchise agreement, which says if the cost of ungrounding versus overhead can be substantiated, you know, it's cheaper to go ahead with overhead than underground, we have the right to go overhead. And then we look under the conditions in our zoning, it says that every service has to be underground. Well, their intent is that when it goes from its primary line, it will underground to serve those buildings. But the primary line is overhead. So if the intent is that council wants everything underground, we need to make a few changes in the wording to say that any development will have underground wiring, including the primary line. That's a basic change. It will make it a lot easier for staff to sit down with SEG and say, everything's underground. And then this is the first case that came up in 10 years since we started doing underground wiring. We feel those three things are not major, but BZA, because they made a request through the planning department, that we should honor the request of how to handle those as soon as possible. And so therefore, we're recommending that be moved up to number 6. And there's a reason why, and I'll get to why we're doing some of the other things further down. Number 7 is again a brand new item, and that's again on the page that Ed had given me on recommendations on your amendments to zoning ordinance. He's got 4 different items here that basically get ordered priority. None of them are major in itself, but each one will take a little bit of time. If these 4 items could be dealt with, it would take away a lot of confusion and difficulties that the staff has as they face these issues. So we're recommending that be our item number 7. These 4 items that are listed on that page here. Then going back to the original list that the Planning Commission came up with, item number 8, thank you, which is currently item number 5, ordinance to control curb cuts. That is going to be dealt with by Roger Dyer, who's our consultant. He's already started that work. It's going to take him several months to complete that work. Once we get that work, we're going to have an open house, similar to what we did with the Lincoln National Plan. Allow a number of people to see the diagram of things, what the curb cut regulations would do. The state highway department already has curb cut controls. Many cities in South Carolina have this type of ordinance, and most time it restricts and makes it a bit more restrictive than the state has in their requirements. We have open house, allow anybody that want to come in to make comments, we gather those comments, make whatever changes we feel are necessary based on those comments, and then bring it back to the Planning Commission and the draft that we review. And that would probably happen sometime October, November timeframe. So since it's moving along, and I mean, you could have a higher priority, but we're going to have to wait for Roger Dyer anyways. There's no sense having this high up, and that's what we felt to get the items from PZA and the staff items on the zoning ordinance amendment up higher. The next item is the design standards for new buildings. This one here is really, like I told you before, was we can expand on it by the large retail projects. And it's one you might want to develop a committee. Now, this is the second committee that you will have. You'll have one committee that's doing your side and another committee doing the large regional projects. We'd like to have those separated by at least 2 to 4 months, staff-wise. Our staff can handle so many items, and if we start the one, the process by picking the people in August, so therefore you'll actually start in September, or late August, and that. And the reason we're picking that time is so many people are in the summer. Then this one would be done later in the fall. You can start determining the planning commission, so who should be on the committee, and who should, what representation should we have, and then that selection can be made late fall. That would give us that period of time so staff can go ahead and gear up on one project, get it started, and then the staff can go ahead and gear up and get started on the second project. So we want to keep those a few months apart.
Could this not be coordinated with Randy Wilson's work?
Probably not. What Randy Wilson's doing, Randy Wilson works for Community Builders. Community Builders is an adjunct group that works with the Municipal Association, dealing with basically the downtowns. And Randy Wilson's an architect who's working with us right now, developing a set of guidelines for the downtown area. Basically the central business district, going from Union Street to Greenville, and from Barnwell down to Park Avenue, County Avenue area. So then we come up with a number of guidelines of what new development should look like in the downtown area, and what the existing buildings should stay like. And developing these guidelines that we come back to planning commission at a later time. This is more geared towards, might be with the larger retail projects, Whiskey Road area, Lawrence, York Street, Richland Avenue, Silver Bluff, Pine Log Road, where we'll be looking at any size commercial type buildings that will be developed in the future and what guidelines and design does the Planning Commission and City Council want. The one's geared for the downtown, the other one's going to be geared for the new development.
It's just that he's done so much infill, he's on not in historic districts necessarily, that I've seen.
Again, he could use him.
And his charrettes, and we had about that at the Municipal Association meeting, it would seem to me like he might have seen some of the problems and anticipated some things that maybe a citizens committee might not, necessarily.
Well, if not, one thing we could do, Jane, is have him work with the citizens committee. We should. What's the time schedule on the design guidelines for downtown?
They've slowed up a little bit, so I don't know.
End of the year for next year?
Probably end of the year. Next to most.
That'd be the only other thing is we want to get done with one before we start another. But we certainly could go ahead and look at seeing what it would cost and how he would work with us. Because it is a new thing. So that's why we're putting that down near the bottom. And the very last one is the overlay district for Whiskey Road. We're saying that project there, we're waiting for Aiken County anyway. We basically completed all of our work. We're waiting for them to come back. One of the reasons it's taking a little bit longer time is they're looking at zoning not just for Whiskey Road, but throughout the entire county. So that's one of the reasons why that's been delayed. So again, just to recap, we're saying keep the top four in the same order that we had it. Move to number 5, the expand comprehensive plan to the north side. Move to number 6, the BZA. Move to number 7, the amendments to the zoning ordinance. Create number 8 as design standards for new building. Number 9 is the ordinance to control curb cuts, and number 10, the overlay district for Whiskey Road. Any other comments there? Any questions on that? That gives you a start as to where you may want to go with this. And we think this is somewhat of a doable list to get started this year.
Well,
I'm
saying
And I apologize because I told you something at first, and I told you the second time around. I was checking to see if you could catch that.
Just didn't say anything about it, didn't I?
We do even.
I said number 9 would be the ordinance to control curb cuts.
And 8 is?
8 is 8.
8 is the original number 8 design standards for new buildings. And the reason we put in that order is because we're working with Roger Dyer and the other two committees before him.
Roger, what about, how are you dealing with the other items? I think you have listed those. Are those things that just be considered a later date?
The various amendments to zoning ordinance, again, that's the item number 7, which is, that has outlined in the next page. But next item.
Right, there are other amendments needed to the zoning ordinance that aren't that pressing.
That aren't that pressing. But those are the 4 major ones. The next item we are already working on. We just have, that's going to take time to the Downtown Development Association and Wilson. Rezoning to conform to the comprehensive plan. There are a number of areas throughout the city that the comprehensive plan, and we got a comprehensive plan in the south side that's been approved. When that was approved by the planning commission, by council, it set up various zones for certain areas. Give you an example along the bypass where Peggy Pinlin owns property in and around Lutheran Church, the Presbyterian Church, where your office is, right across the street, all that zone GP. Whether you realize it or not, when you pass the comprehensive plan, you said that should be residential. So, are we going to go by the comprehensive plan, or are we going to go by the current zoning? If somebody came in today, it's GB until council formally approves and changes it. For it to be changed, it has to go through the planning commission, for your approval, and then to city council. Another example is Tune Hill. Most of Tune Hill is zoned as multifamily. We want to remain multifamily, but we want that to be single family. And most of the area along the southern part of the railroad track, which is Park Avenue on that side, the north side is also Park Avenue, and the areas along Marlboro, Orangeburg Street, Buford Street, is also industrial. Should it stay industrial? It's a question that the planning commission and council would have to wrestle with at some point in time. Hampton Avenue, you all said, you know, we brought it back specifically to the planning commission. Give us some thoughts on it. You said residential. Several spots along Hampton Avenue right now is a little commercial. So there's a number of these that need to be brought up at some point in time. There's none of them that are pressing at this point in time. Sooner or later, we need to look at a new kind of issue. So that's that, what that issue is here. We probably, during the year, might bring a few of those back to planning commission to the council as time begins. But again, right now, we don't think that's the most pressing issue that we have facing us. Complete review of land development regulations. Again, it has not been updated since 87. Still a pretty good set of regulations that just need to be updated at some point in time. Cluster house we talked about, control of inoperable vehicles, i.e. junk cars. Barely brought that up to me 6 months ago and said, do some research. It's all over the map as to what you do with junk cars. And what is a junk car? One that starts, one that doesn't start, does it have tires on it, does it not have tires, does it have to roll? How long does it have to sit there abandoned? So, I mean, that's going to be like commercial vehicles. But that's an issue that we have to look at some point in time. Some cities are very strict on it, some are not so strict. It's an area that we need to deal with. Revised planning commission bylaws. I don't know about that.
They just have this look at many years.
Many years. So that's the other item on this list. To start the discussion, yes. which means that we think that number two and number three are very simple. Discussion will probably take place in June. We improved in July or August. We're really not that controversial. Probably going to take a little more time. Start probably discussion in June.
Five-year, this also assumes that council will not send back either the big box ordinance, traffic ordinance, or the old master plan to us for us to, do additional work.
That's correct.
Just wanted to get that on the table.
Council will not do that, do you?
Other items
or?
Dam lights and the other items. Are you not that
tall? Anybody want to talk about dam lights? Obviously.
I don't know. Is it determined? I mean, I'm curious what I'm going to do.
Let me tell you a brief history about dam lights. If it comes back to the council, it will come back as an annexation item.
I will not. Look, those are my back, those are my
back. But here, it's a... Gem Lakes has a sewer system. Most of you have. And not all of Gem Lakes. All of Gem Lakes is on a water system. About half of Gem Lakes have a sewer system. The sewer system was built, when Gem Lakes was built back in the 60s. And the sewer system, to my understanding, they put very little money back into the sewer system. It's owned by a private company. They have a spray field. The sewage comes out there. They spray it up in the air. Let go for 7 pounds of solid soap out of it. The effluent that comes from that pond gets sprayed up in the air onto a nice grassy area. It's not working real well. And some of those effluents have been going downstream and including some downstream ponds. We got involved in this about a year ago because we also had some overflow from our sewer pump station. We took care of our problem and they were blaming it on us, but we're still having the problem, so it's not us anymore. DHEC has gone after things and we need to do something. They've asked the city what it would cost if at all we receive their sewage. We said it would, but you'd have to pay for the transmission costs, the cost of buying in to have the sewage treated at the county sewage treatment plant, and then some other operational costs. And I think the letter that was sent out, that was going to be $27 a month to pay for the city's portion of it. They're wanting to have another $80 so that all of a sudden now they can go ahead and fix up their sewer lines and do the rest of the work that they want. And so the customers and Gem Lakes are up in arms saying, this is unfair, you should do this to $100 a month for a sewer bill. Would the city take us in? So there's some people are saying, maybe we should have an annexation number. If we annex them, what are they doing for the city? That's a private sewer system. We don't own it. If it annex in, it's still a private sewer system. Unless we're going to buy that sewer system and then make whatever improvements are necessary. Annexation just means that we in the city, they receive our services. We can't go over. We just can't say we're going to take over the sewer system for nothing. We're going to want to have fair compensation for the sewer system. Last time we talked to them, they wanted several hundreds of thousands of dollars for the sewer system.
But it won't work if we don't let them mess up.
That's correct. Unless they make some major changes on the spray field system.
We all did agree with them.
Yes. Yes.
So the question is, we're going to go to the planning committee, go to the
PSC.
PSC, what way how they're going to allow them to have it. And they're going to go there and complain and say this. Feed them this amount. The question come here is when the people get late, they voted 3 times up in the city, by the way, all the time. And when house reducing car tax, you take 10% down to 50%, and we also raise their fire rate, and we've also got their water. When they actually add it up, because there's going to be a rate increase to get late. I mean, they haven't had rate increase for so long. Once they add it up, then they're going to want to come to the city and say,
little bit better feet on that than it was before. The question is, what do we do with the sewers? And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, everybody else paying a sewer tap fee. Sewer tap fee might work on this. Everybody pays a sewer tap fee, and it's upgraded, and the city makes it pays for itself. Have a happy day. But that's a financial decision to be made by all those people sitting up there, and I'm sure we'll make a lot of decisions.
So that affects our schedule and whatnot.
It's not going to affect your schedule at all.
That's right. I mean, this is not going
to if there's an annexation, first of all, we have to decide financially if we want to consider the annexation.
Okay, so that will be decided at City Council, won't affect the planning commission?
Well, not initially. You know, once all the decisions are made, we're probably talking months from now, the only thing that would come before the planning commission would be, here's an annexation petition. And it has to get just like
any other annexation. One good part about that thing is it's already developed. It's residential. They would fix the zoning that meets, and then have to have two-thirds of those signed petitions. And then
they
do have to come in and petition.
What indeed would have to come for
right. Just the annexation petition for the city. There should be all of it. Planning commission would need to be moved.
Just as a point of interest, but they couldn't annex individually like some of these lots in them.
We have looked at some of that, and unless we get a number of them somewhat contiguous together, it doesn't make any sense for us to annex it. For the last 6 months, actually last couple of years, we've had a few people who wanted to come in. We told them no.
Do we need to give our guidance a bit more rather than 8 miles of plans up on the north side? Do we need to be a little more focused about what we really think can happen annexation-wise? And if something does come up further out, can we tell the developer if you want our water sewer, we want this for landscape ordinance and that kind of stuff? We can do that. In other words, try to land plan 8 miles of land plan. I mean, we could be, you know, I hate to try to do that. I think we need to try to see what are we going to do. Don't annex over there.
Square miles.
I mean, you got, if you look at that area, I mean, it's huge. Unbelievable. I mean, I just don't want to turn something over to them and they're going to say, well, how do I possibly accomplish this? And maybe we need to be a little more definitive about saying, do these areas and maybe concentrate on the main corridors or something. I'm just questioning. I just don't want to give them, you know, these say that's land plan north side. And I know we've been trying to land plan south side for 3 years, and we haven't quite gotten done yet, and half of it's built.
One thing, what might be important is that we're getting to creating a plan that is I don't know how to avoid that from the annexation law to get those done. What can you do so you don't have pockets out doing what it wants to do? Pockets inside,
right? The only way that we can, with our annexation laws, as you all know, is we can ask the people to sign an annexation petition and not accept it until everything's contiguous.
Roger, can we put a requirement, like the land sitting out there to develop 100 acres, sewer back behind it, that any of the city one time, 3 years from now, we can get a sewer? Can we, as a right to get our water and sewer, that would say we want a buffer on the front for commercial? In other words, we don't make mistakes of both the north and south. In other words, we're going to give you one sewer. You're not contiguous, but we want it to look like this. We don't do that.
Yes.
So all we can do that and do the retreat.
And one of the things that the planning commission could look at is committees. Do we want to take maybe just the first 2 or 3 miles land planted, and the next X number of miles is here's some guidelines as to what we'd like to see, but not land planted.
Are you going to try to talk to the county while they're doing their zoning? Because they're going to zone this area, I don't
think. Yes.
So maybe they'll address again.
I think the other two on the side of this is possible. We should be working with the county on it.
property, and I've talked to Phil England about trying to do something together to cooperate and, you know, communicate in some degree. What that degree is, I'm not sure right now, but he understands we're going to be doing something.
If we get this point, maybe I'll mimic some of what we're trying to accomplish.
You think you can get it going before office?
Well, I guess maybe because if we reprioritize, something up in that way.
The reason we put it number five is we figured that maybe, let's say in June we select the committee, we probably don't want to start till after summer's over, put it back to school.
Well, the committee may want to know more than that, but I thought it was more important than that. And two of them, so that the thing is.
No problem, we'll be up high, it's a 12, right?
The mass plan will wait, and we have all that. None is coming with that. Two, three, and four. Hopefully, we can run some regular training upon curve and gutter, or we should be able to bring those to the quick, if you want, there's something that's done. And if
it's number four.
Those are things that staff has never really formed. We should look at it and see if we agree or not. Just like my driver said, things off the underground wire, catch anymore, this is what council wants. Okay, council tells you you want it or not, and we can act on it. Very good, let it tell us things that we want, and we can act on it. And some of this stuff helps them do all the things that say, here's that one, and add the work on it. Give us a blank sheet of paper, create a problem, not be trying to act and manage the other things, we don't need that one. The things you guys turn up, that cost you, what do you do? And a lot of that is for the department, some question, but have a step for that answer, that's what you do. And, you know, say, you know, these are things that, if that's the only people who have in their mind, the house, and you say, now look at it, decide. We don't have any more wires, but we can take a certain speed of the process. So I can tie same to new buildings, what kind of buildings we're talking about. Those councils.
Well, I don't think these titles are intended to give a full explanation.
No, what I'm saying, when they come to us, it helps us. If you say, we want the design standard to cover from 10,000 to 40,000 feet, well, we're talking about every building built.
In talking to Ed, the main reason we'd like to keep it where it's at is the fact that staff, okay, probably 2 to 3 months worth of work to the maps and all the other details that the other board is doing, we probably need to go to all the September ourselves.
And we don't do that, even the maps, which is fine.
Well, if you're going to do it right, the city will just take some legal action. You have to lay it on. I mean, you got this one here, that's what you have to consider. So if you need to hire somebody to come in and say, this is what we want the city to look like. And it's 20 years going to this way. I mean, so we give input, but have some kind of idea, and then you need that consultant to bring people together. Kind of work it all over. Whoever the government plans for the same plan, pull them aside. Realize you're not working on the plan, you've got to know more the citizens to serve them. I mean, Eric's with these is someone from the education they want, but you could try the citizens in there, that's very low education, very, you could make your problem work. I think it would be great to have a consultant come in and do an outline for you, and then you can hand it off to the
I don't think you need a
No.
Guideline?
Oh, downtown guidelines? No, just timing. I got the contract on my desk right now. We're doing my assessment.
Roger, when you talk about the zoning guidelines, are they simply after the guidelines or are they entering into the law and terms of compliance?
Bill said it himself.
I mean, the guidelines are great, but if they're simply guidelines, I'm sorry?
We'll have to deal with the different needs of the contract. Given Randy Wilson, the architect, is that there needs to be a bit of flexibility, or else you get kind of a static product. You don't get a real sort of living, breathing product, you know, it's just by the foot and by the rope. So what you're doing is you're giving alternatives to people coming in to do a project, whether it's renovation, but you're giving them a number of alternatives from which they can choose from. So in that sense, there is guidance involved.
But there will be some standards that will
there be standards that have to be required.
Well, let me give you a good example. Ted Evans gave it to me, and I was asking him that same question. If back in the 1930s we had these guidelines and regulations for the downtown area, and everything built in the downtown area is two stories, flat roofs. And so he said, gosh, we any new buildings that go up should be two stories, should have flat roofs to match all their buildings. The post office with a nice round dome had never been built, because it wouldn't fit into the guidelines as to what we have in downtown. Now, do we want to have any more post office with round domes on it? Maybe yes, maybe no. But there's got to be some flexibility that allows things to come in that would represent the character that we want to make. And again, if those guidelines were there in the 30s, the post office that we all love and don't want to destroy it, never been built.
No, it's already there.
It was built in the 20s?
It was built in about 1902.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was during the Depression. Whatever was built, it had never been built for the guidelines. So there's going to be some flexibility in whatever comes up. That's why it's so hard to try to develop what we want to develop for an area that's really built up.
Now, my only concern is that if you do have guidelines, you do have alternatives that can be chosen, that push comes to shove. If there is something particularly obnoxious, if there is some need to enforce something that you really don't want.
Yeah. You're asking me, it is an enforcement problem. Coming up with guidelines is a difficult process.
Stay on this down now.
Standards.
Is it part of the project building lighting code?
Yes.
I mean, right now, that threatens my mom that there is nothing protecting that building if they want to tear it down and put up a building that would comply. Well, is that part of what we want to do is make sure that we've got signed guidelines that protect those buildings as well. So, you know, that's, to me, is an important thing. So, and not to have a guideline, that's really important.
Well, the guidelines are more reference. You just can't do what you want. Next door to that post office, the vacant lot. Right now, somebody wants to put up a steel building with smoke glass windows. Four stories tall. And so there's nothing you can do about it.
One question someone asked me is, why can't we do something real quick right now, put like a 30-day moratorium on destroying buildings in the downtown? Before
they can be torn down and blown away,
you know,
moved away,
there has to be
at least
be there. But why can't we do that real fast?
We got to
design
guidelines
or anything.
That's
something
the house
could always do if
they wanted to. I think that was a very good idea. I think that would eliminate the possibility of midnight demolition, which can happen. And the council might consider that very soon.
Any on the list that you'd like to see changed?
based on what we gave you? If not, it's going to be going to City Council for the next meeting to perform the approval. We can still always change the time.
We will have to adjust the comprehensive plan on your side and decide how to solve it. That's when we're going to have some.
Knowing that's a fact that we hired a consultant, we can start looking at the process right now. Like I said, it's going to take us a few months just to develop the mapping and the details that we need, whether we have a consultant or not.
Anything else?